Today's Shir Masechta Shabbos Daf Pei. We will begin the last words of Daf Ayin Tesem Beis. We learned in the Mishnah the Shir for carrying out ink on Shabbos. The Shir for carrying ink on Shabbos is Kedei Lichtav Shtei Osis, as much ink as necessary to write two letters. Says the Gemara Tana. We learned in the Braisa Shtei Osis, when we speak about these two letters, it has to be b'diyoy, of two letters of ink. Interesting to point out that Rashi, when he speaks about the diyoy, when he describes the ink that one will be chay for carrying out in Shabbos, says it's diyoy yovish. It says it's dry ink, which probably is even less than liquidy ink. Shtei osius bekumis. To the amount of ink that you carry out in the quill, and shtei osius, or you carry out the amount of ink, this amount of ink to write two letters that was in the inkwell. All of these different places where ink is kept, that much you have to carry out that much ink. So the Rambam, first of all, explains that the ink that we're speaking about, when you carry it out in different containers, you have to take into consideration that some of the ink always sticks to the sides of the wall of the inkwell. And therefore, it has to be a little more than just the amount to write two letters. Boy Rava asked Rava the question, Ois achas b'diyoy, if you carried out one letter of the amount to write one letter of ink, ois achas b'kolmus, and the amount to carry out one letter in the pen, ois achas b'kolmarin. In other words, the Gemara's question is, could ink that's in different places combine, could ink that's in different places combine to get to the shear? And the Gemara says it's a teiku. So, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that since the amount of ink, as we just explained, is not exactly the same in each case, in each situation, so since it's not the exact same amount in each situation, therefore it doesn't combine. Another important point that the Mefarshim make in learning this Gemara, that we're speaking about the ink in the pen, the ink in the pen. So the question is, even if there is or isn't enough ink in the pen, why should you not be chayiv, asked the Mefarshim, because of the pen itself? Why are you not chayiv for the pen itself? So really, there are two answers that I saw that the Mefarshim suggest. One answer that they give, in a point that we've spoken about previously in the Gemara and our Shiurim, is that if somebody carries out a keli, and in the keli you're carrying out food, and as we've been learning over and over again, the typical shear of food is a groigris. So let's say you have less than a groigris in the keli. Will you be chayiv? Maybe not because of the food, you have less than a groigris, but will you be chayiv because of the keli? So the Gemara says that not only the Gemara later, the Tzadik Gemel on the base says that not only will you not be chayiv on the food because you have less than the shear, you won't be chayiv on the keli either. And that's the way we're going to learn our Gemara also. The point of the pen is not the pen, it's the ink in it. And therefore, if you don't have any ink, you won't be chayiv for the pen either. However, the Chasam Sofer is not quite certain that that's the way to learn the Gemara. And that's why I saw others want to say that the case here is, interesting way of explaining the Gemara, that the keli had less, that the keli, you were amazed. We're speaking here, under what circumstances will you be chayiv a karmel chatas? And what's happened over here is that the keli is less than a, the keli you were amazed. For amazed, you were never chayiv. The ink is what you carried out b'shoigig for which you would be chayiv a korban chatas. And the question here is, under what circumstances will you be chayiv for the ink? Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, hotzi shtei oishes. If somebody carried out the amount of ink you need to write two letters, v'kasa kushum halach, and he writes while he's walking, he's chayiv for this maisa hotzah. Shiksivosam, as you're writing them, zuah nichosam. So Ritva says that the focus of this Gemara is not the malach of ksiva, the malach of writing. Because you're certainly chayiv here for the malach of ksiva. You wrote two letters on Shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah, Dafayin Gimel, very explicitly that if somebody writes two letters on Shabbos, he's chayiv for ksiva. The discussion in this Gemara, says the Ritva, is a question of hotzah. Under what circumstances will you be chayiv for ktzah and what will you not? And he says, and the Gemara is saying, that if you write it on a piece of paper, if you write as you walk, you're chayiv for hotzah. For as we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, the halacha is that to be chayiv for hotzah, you have to make an akira. So this person certainly made an akira when he picked up the pen as he walked out of Rishus HaYochid. The question is, is this considered a valid hotzah? And the answer is that it is considered a valid hotzah. But the Rishonim ask a question. When we learned the halachas of Akira v'Hanocha back at the beginning of the Masechta, we said that for Hanocha to be considered a valid Hanocha, it has to be on a dalet, on a place that's dalet adalet. So the question is, how is the Hotzah here? So some Rishonim say that indeed the Gemara here is referring to a situation where you wrote it on a piece of paper as you're walking, that's a dalet adalet. So you have a chanocha on a proper amount of space. The Ran disagrees. And the Ran says that, and we learned this concept at the beginning of the Masechta as well. Just like we learned Yodah Shel Adam, that a person's hand is chashuva k'dalet adalet, has the significance of a dalet adalet, says the Ran, the piece of paper or whatever the person wrote on as he's walking, by you writing on this piece of paper, you show a chashivas, you show significance to that piece of paper, and therefore that piece of paper will be considered a dalet adalet, like a dalet adalet, even though it isn't physically a dalet adalet. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, hoitzi ois achas v'kosva. Somebody took out ink, the amount of that it takes to write, and he wrote v'chosva hoitzi in the same helam ois achas v'kosva, another letter, and he wrote it. Potter, Dennis Potter, my tama, says the Gemara, be'idna da'afkel b'sraisa, when you take the second amount of ink out, chosel ishur de kamaisa, the amount that you need, the amount of ink that to be chayiv, is not there from the first letter, because you have to have the shear to write a letter, and the letter gets dried out. So when you finish writing the first letter, now you want to combine the second letter, which indeed was done behelam echad, with the first letter, you don't have the shear of ksivas shtei oisius. And since you don't have the shear of ksivas shtei oisius, you don't have the right amount to be chayiv for carrying out ink on Shabbos. And again, I have to stress that the issue here is only regarding carrying ink. We're not talking about the ksiva. Along the same line, says the Gemara of Amar Rava, Chaytzi chatzi groigris achas. Somebody carried out one chatzi groigris. I mentioned a moment ago that the shear for carrying food typically is a groigris. Somebody carried out a chatzi groigris. V'chaz v'chaytzi chatzi groigris achas. And then he carried out another chatzi groigris. Rishoyna nasa kamishi kolto kelev. The first groigris is considered as if it was swallowed by a dog, or a shenisrafa, or was burnt, or potter. In other words, in order to be chayiv for carrying, you have to be chayiv for carrying out a kira v'hanocha, and you have to carry out a whole groigris, as we keep on repeating. Here, since he didn't carry out the whole groigris at one time, so after the first groigris is deposited, it's no longer here, the Gemara is saying. It's like it was burnt. So when the second chatzi groigris is being carried out, it has nothing to combine with the first, because the first is gone, the first half. And therefore don't have a shear of a groigris that I did an akir and anoch on. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't true. Vamai, hamancha. At the end of the day, you have a full groigris of food laying in the Rishus Rabbim. And therefore you ought to be chayiv, says the Gemara. Hachikomer. This is what the Gemara means to say. In kodem v'gbia, if you picked up the first chatzi groigris rishoina, kodem anochas shnia, before the second one was deposited, nasa rishoina, so the first one, since it was picked up before the second one was deposited, nasa rishoina kemishi kolta kelev shenisrafa, it's considered as if it's gone, and therefore it cannot combine. So what we're learning here is that unless the first piece of food is still in existence when he carries and deposits the second piece, then they cannot combine. So the Paiskim, in discussing this Gemara, make the following point. They speak about three different types of Averis. The first is a case that we learned extensively earlier in our Masechta, is if you eat something. Let's say somebody eats a chatzi kezayis chalef, and then b'toy chelam echos, as we've discussed so many times, he eats another chatzi kezayis chalef. The halacha is that those two chatzi kezayisim certainly combine. On the other hand, as our Gemara was very clear in this situation, that if you deposited a chatzi groigris, and then you deposited another chatzi groigris, the halacha is that they certainly do not combine. The Prima Gadim asks a question. What about all other malachas of Shabbos? He says, for example, we learned in our shiur about the malacha of ksiva. So the minimum shiur to be chayiv for ksiva is two letters. So the Prima Gadim asks, what would be the halacha if the first letter was erased before the second letter was written? He says, the writer is potter. But many achroinim are not sure about it. He says, it could be that you would be chayiv. It could be that this halacha that was saying that if the first chatzi groigris is gone, your potter, even after you deposit the second chatzi groigris, is because Haitzah is a malacha geruah. As we discussed in the first plot of our Masechta, Haitzah is a very low-level malacha because it doesn't affect a physical change in the object. Here, there was a physical change. The ink turned into a letter. Or, for example, what's going to be a malacha by Tzira and Tchina? If somebody did a chatzi groigris by Ktzira, first he cut a certain amount and then he did it again. The question is, what will be the halacha? It could be that there everybody agree that if you ground a half a groigris and then you ground another half a groigris, even if the first portion is gone by the time he grinds the second portion, then he'll be chayiv, because at the end of the day you ground the amount to be chayiv on Shabbos. So in other words, just to review, we have a number of categories. By eating machalos asuris, the Gemara has been quite clear that you're certainly bichayiv. By haitzah, the Gemara has been clear that you won't bichayiv if the first chatzi groigris is not here. By ksiva, the Prima Gadim wants to say that ksiva maybe is a different malacha, because again, the whole malacha of ksiva in the Mishkan was that you had the two letters coexist when they wrote them. Here the two letters are not coexisting at the same time, and maybe you'll be potter. By other malachas, it seems that almost every, and other achroinim disagree with the Prima Gardener by Ksiva, and they're going to say that Ksiva is like all other malachas Shabbos, and that by all malachas Shabbos, they combine, Haitzah is the exception to the rule, because Haitzah is a malacha gerua. Continues the Gemara. V'amarava. Haitzi chatzi groigris. If someone carry out a chatzi groigris, v'inicha, and he put it down to Shus Rabbim. V'chazva haitzi chatzi groigris, and then he carry out another chatzi groigris, v'vira derech alea, and he passed the second chatzi groigris over the area where the first chatzi groigris was laying, he's chayiv. There was never a hanocha on the second chatzi groigris. And our entire shir has been all about that carrying is not considered a melacha of Haitzah unless there was a kir of hanocha. So therefore, ask the Gemara v'amai, halaynach, the second chatzi groigris never had a hanocha. And without a hanocha, you can't be chayiv for melachas Haitzah. Answers the Gemara, it's talking about a case kagon shivir b'tach shloisha. You carry the three tefachim above the first chatzi groigris, and there's a concept that we've discussed called loved, that anything within three tefachim of another object of the ground is the typical case of loved. It's considered as if it's laying on the ground. And the chiddush of this Gemara here is that not only does it have to be within, not only if it's within three tefachim of the ground, it's going to be considered hanocha, but even if it's within three tefachim of the area on top of the first object, that will also be considered a ma'isa hanocha. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rava, hasn't Rava taught us, but toich shloisha l'rabbanon, they're according to Rabbanon, that hold that something within three tefachim of the ground is not considered hahanocha unless you have tzar hanocha agave mashahu. It has to be some level of hanocha. Without any level of hanocha at all, say the rabbanon, it's not going to be considered a hanocha. So why, just because it's suspended within three tefachim of the other chatzi groigris, are you chayiv? Answers the Gemara like kasha. Kam bezayrik. When do you need some level of hanocha? Is when you throw something from one rishus to another rishus. But here we're talking about mavir. Mavir is the object that you're moving is in your hand. So it already has some level of hanocha, albeit, of course, not a full-fledged level of hanocha. And since it has some level of hanocha, that's enough for it to be considered a ma'isa hanocha for which you would be chayiv. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Chotzi chatzi groigris. Somebody carried out a chatzi groigris. V'chotzi chatzi groigris. And then he carries out another chatzi groigris behelam echot. That we learned all along. If he did it behelam echot, he's chayiv. He's going to bring chayiv akam chattis if this was done b'shoigig. If he did it b'shtei halomis, he did it with two acts of halomis, then he's potter. Because as we've learned many times, the idea in between the two acts that he does acts as a mechalik, acts as a divider between the two acts, and therefore he won't be chayiv. Of course, this goes back to a discussion that we had earlier in the Masechta. We'll have it again in this Masechta, Mitzvah Shem, and that is if a yediyah for chatzi shir is considered a yediyah. Here he had a yediyah, but the yediyah was only for a chatzi shir. Is that considered a viable yediyah? This Gemara clearly indicates that a yediyah for chatzi shir is considered a viable idea. Rabbi Yosemer, behelam echad lushus echad chayiv. It has to be, to be chayiv kam chattis, the two haitzahs have to be with one haloma, obviously. And number two, it has to be taken out to one rishus rabbim. However, he says, l'shtei rishuyus, if you take it out to two different rishuyus, the halacha is that you're potter. Amar Rava, says Rava, when we're saying that you carried out the two Rishus HaRabim, those two acts of Hotzah cannot combine, says the Gemara, V'hu sheyesh chiyuv chatas b'neihem. There has to be an area that is a Rishus, that's considered Rishus, the Raisa in between, which means, we know if you carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, or vice versa, you're going to be chayv for Hotzah. So if the two Rishus HaRabims to which you carried the two Chatzi Groigrisen are divided by Rishus HaYochid, so Rishus HaYochid is considered a real Rishus Midaraisa. Since it's considered a real Rishus Midaraisa, that's why it can serve as an area that will divide these two Rishus HaRabims. But if the area that divides these two Rishus HaRabim is only a Carmelis, where the Issa to carry to a Carmelis is only an Issa de Rabbanon, Loi, it's not considered a real Rishus to divide these two Maisa Hotzah. It has to be a real Maisa Hotzah. So, I saw the Rav Aaron Leib Steinman in explaining this Gemara. He says that the way to understand this Gemara is that the two Rishuyas can't combine. What we're talking about here is that if somebody carried from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, but the two Rishus HaRabims are distinct, those two Maisa Hotzahs cannot combine. Says Rabbi Leib Steinman, what's going to be if somebody carried a Chatzi Shir from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and then he carried another Chatzi Shir from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid? So he says that if Rabbi Yossi, he says a big chiddush, that if Rabbi Yossi says that the two Rishus HaRabims can't combine, that will be the halacha that they can't combine, that the two different Maisa Hotzah, Hachnosa Vahotzah, which are two separate situations, cannot combine. The other question that many ask, the Chasam Sofer, the Shalos Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, ask the question. We keep on speaking about the Gemara just mentioned the Carmelis. The Gemara says that since a Carmelis is not a Rishus Midaraisa, it cannot serve as an area to divide the two Rishus Rabbins. So the Binyan Tzion and the Chasam Sofer both ask the same question, that a Carmelis Midaraisa is really a Rishus HaYochid. We explained this extensively when we started the Masechta. A Carmelis Midaraisa is really a Rishus HaYochid. Chazal decided, because of distinct characteristics, it's really a Rishus, that it should be treated as it's a new Rishus, and you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid to a Carmelis, or vice versa. You're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaRabim to a Carmelis, or vice versa. So the question is, why aren't we saying this L'chumra? And since it is, why aren't we really looking at it the way you're supposed to look at it? And since it's really a Rishus HaYochid, it should be able to serve as a divider between these two Rishus HaRabims. It's a question that many, many Achroinim ask. And it seems that the Achroinim want to take the opinion that a Carmelis, once Chazal established a Carmelis, Chazal treated as a full-fledged Rishus. What I mean to say is that when Chazal treated as a full-fledged Rishus, that it is a Rishus, and that's exactly the question. How do I look at a Carmelis? Do I look at a Carmelis as a distinct Rishus or not? And that's why the first Mandama said that a Carmelis cannot divide. I don't look at a Carmelis as a distinct Rishus. I feel a Carmelis is considered a distinct Rishus and it could divide. But if you have a pisla, if you have a piece of wood, that isn't considered a Rishus for itself and it cannot divide the two Rishus HaRabims. Rav Amar, and Rav disagrees, and Rav says, I feel a pisla, a log of wood can't serve as a divider. Why? Because as the Rav Latamei, Dama Rav, Rishus Shabbos, Rishus Gittin Dami. Just like we see that a pisla, this log of wood, is considered a reshus when we speak in Hilchus Gittin, which I'll explain in a moment, so too, says Rava, it's considered a reshus for Hilchus Shabbos. What does this mean? The Gemara Masech the Gittin tells us that when a husband wants to divorce his wife, he has to deposit the get in the wife's hand. Torah says, v'nosim b'yadah. Or you could give it to the wife's chatzar, her wife's yard. So the Gemara discusses what happens if a wife doesn't have her own chatzar. So the Gemara says the husband could give his chatzar, b'makna area in his chatzar, to the wife. And now it's the wife's chatzar, and the get that he deposits there is being given to the wife in her chatzar. However, says the Gemara, if there's a log of wood, if there's a pisla in that chatzar, so he gave her the chatzar, he didn't give her the pisla, and therefore that is considered a separate area, an area which he has not given to her, and since it's an area which has not been given to her, depositing the get there is not depositing it in the place that was given to the wife. So we see from here that it has to be an area that the pisla is considered a separate area. If it's considered, says Rava, a separate area in Hilchus Gittin, it's going to be also considered a separate area for Hilchus Shabbos. The Abaya who disagrees says that in Hilchus Gittin we gave it the concept of its own reshus. But of course, we can't consider it a reshus for Hilchus Shabbos. It doesn't have the distinctions, doesn't have the qualifications that make that is considered as a reshus. And something which is not considered a real reshus is not able to divide the two reshus harabims. I did see, is only in a situation where the pisla, even according to Rava, that says the pisla does divide the two reshus harabims, that's only going to be in a case where the pisla goes through the entire area between the two reshus harabims. But if the log doesn't cover the entire area between the two reshus harabims, so that it isn't considered a full separator between the two reshus harabims, and there everybody, even Rava, would agree that the two reshus harabims are considered connected. We learned in the Mishnah that to carry out chol, how much eye makeup do you carry out to be chayiv and Shabbos? Kedei lichol ein achas, the amount that you need to put into one eye. Ask the Gemara, ein achas halakai hachli. When somebody puts eye makeup in the eye, they don't just put on one eye. So why is the shear just one eye? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, shekein tznus kaychlos ein achas. Women who covered their eyes because they wanted to do it for tznius, they would cover one eye and only leave one eye open to see. So Rashi says that the eye that they had open was the eye that they kept, that they put the makeup on. I saw Rabbeinu Parachya says just the opposite. The eye that they covered is that the eye that they put the makeup on. But these people were, as we're going to see, tznuas, as we see a tznuas, and a person who's a tznua doesn't put makeup on the eye that everybody will be able to see. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Rav Shimon Elazar, I'm a kol, em l'refuah, if it's an ointment that's used for refuah, the amount is, kedei licholai nachas, the amount you need for one eye. However, em l'kashet, if it's for makeup, b'shteyanayim, so we see that the shear is two eyes, answers the Gemara, Tirgma Hilberator of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Kitanya here be roinus. The people who lived in the city, where there are many people walking in the street, so there, because of tznius, they covered one eye and opened and left only one eye open with which to see. However, when you live in a village where there aren't so many people living there, and the need for tznius, there's not such a great tznius concern, the halacha is that there you have to cover. They left both eyes open, and since they left both eyes open to see with, the makeup is the shear for both eyes. There's an incredible Mishkanes Yaakov on this Gemara. The Mishkanes Yaakov, there's a discussion that we've discussed previously in Mitzvah Shem, when we learn Masechta Erevin, we're going to, of course, discuss this halacha quite extensively. What makes an area into Rishus HaRabim? And there's a very big, famous Machlokes Rishonim. Does it have to be an area where there are 600,000 people pass every day? So the Mishkan Yaakov brings a raya from this Gemara that it doesn't have to be an area that to be considered Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't have to be an area where 600,000 people pass every day. Because let's think about it, says the Mishkan Yaakov. Our Gemara says that this woman lives in a kfar, lives in a village. In a village, there aren't certainly 600,000 people. Yet the Gemara is talking about the shear of how much shechaya for carrying in such a village. But it's not a Rishus HaRabim. From here we see the fact that an area doesn't have 600,000 people does not make it, still could be considered a Rishus HaRabim. We learned in the Mishnah Devek, the shear of carrying out glue is enough kedei litim b'roish hashifshif, the amount that's put on top of the board. Tana, says the Gemara, kedei litim b'roish shifshif, what's shot? You put it on top of a board, shibaroish konish al tzaydin. The way they used to catch birds is that they used to take a pole and put glue on top of it, and the bird would get stuck to that glue. And that's the amount of glue that you chay for carrying on Shabbos. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, it's a decent amount of glue, because it's not going to be a decent amount of glue, the bird won't get stuck to that. We learned further in the Mishnah, Zephas and Gophris, tar and sulfur, the amount is kedei lasis, the amount is to make this, cover this hole. Tana, kedei lasis, neck of cotton. So the way we explained when we learned the Mishnah is that they used to have mercury in a tube, and then when they needed some of the mercury, they would pierce a hole to pour out the mercury, and the amount to cover that hole is the shear. Charsis, we learned the shear of crushed brick, is Kedelasis Pikor, the mount that they put on top of the keli of the gold refinery. Rabbi Yehuda says, enough to make a tripod. Lememra, asked the Gemara, it seems, the Shura, the Rabbi Yehuda Nafish, the Rabbi Yehuda shear, the mount that you need for a tripod, is bigger than the shear of the Rabbanan. But ask the Gemara, we have a klal, Hakayim on the Shura, the Rabbanan Nafish. We know that usually the Rabbanan have the largest shear. The Tanan, for we learned in our Mishnah, what is the shear for carrying rope? What is the shear for carrying grass? Rabbi Yudaimer, kedei litel himena midas min al cotton. The amount that you need to make the shear to use as a rope for a child, to measure a child's foot to make a shear, which is smaller than the shear that the Rabbanan suggested, which was the shear to make a handle on a keli. So, of course, many Mefarshim asked the obvious question, Rabban and others asked the question, because Rabbi Yehuda was machmer in one situation, does it mean he always has to be machmer? He was machmer by the rope. Does it mean he has to be machmer by the charsis? So Rabban answers, there's an explanation to Rabbi Yehuda's approach. He says the explanation to Rabbi Yehuda's approach goes back to something that we discussed the other day. When Chazal determined Shiurim, so the Gemara says we always go with the Shchiach. We always go with what is the most commonly used purpose of the item that we're discussing. What happens if we have two items? So if we have one that's shriach, that the item is always used this way, and the other's ain't a shriach, it's not used that way. So we always go with the shriach. But what happens if you have two that are shriach? But one is more shriach, one use is more shriach than the other use. So the Rabbanan opinion is that even then, we go with the more common use. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we go with either use, we go with the more chumadigah use. So just like, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda said, although a rope was more commonly used, says Rabbi Yehuda, as a handle than being used as to measure a shoe, it doesn't make a difference. It's enough to make it that you should be chayiv. So if that's the case, here too, if it's enough that it's used for covering this keli, it should also be enough to be chayiv for Shabbos, what does he say the biggest shear? Answers the Gemara. Ema, when we speak about a charsis, according to Yehuda, is because they lost a pit kiriktana. If there's a crack in the leg of the tripod, that's the amount of charsis. And therefore, it's a smaller shear, and Rabbi Yehuda remains consistent with his opinion. Tan Rabbanan, continues the Gemara, Hamotzi Seir, if somebody carries out here, the shear is Kedei Legaba Basatit. They used to put here into the cement. And that's the amount that you chayiv. Ktit, how much cement are you chayiv? Clay are you chayiv? Lasses pi kosh at surface of. Again, they used to use clay to make these kalim, and that's the shear. Sid, the amount of sid that you carry out is kedei lusud, the amount that you smear on a young girl. Tana, and here too the Gemara says, how much shid is that? Kedei lusud, etzba katana, to smear the smallest finger, shibibonis. They used to use sid, they used to put lime on a girl's body to make it glow, to give it a nice complexion. And here we're saying that the amount is to put on the smallest finger of a girl. But I saw that the Mefarshim point out that, well, the last time we spoke about something like that, it was the etzbektana, the smallest aver on the youngest child. Here, it's not the smallest aver on this youngest child, because very young children, they did not put this on. They cannot absorb the sid. So it has to be a little older child, as the Gemara explains right now. Amar Yudam Rav, B'nois Yisrael Shegilu Perkin, Jewish girls who are reach the time to show maturity, V'legil Hashanim, they're showing maturity too early. So they started showing here when they were too young. What did they do? B'nois Aniyim, the daughters, people who couldn't afford, Teufel Seisab Sid, they would use the Sid to remove that unwanted hair. But nice Ashirim, wealthy people, Teufel Seisab Silas would use flour. But nice Malachim, who were extremely wealthy, Teufel Seisab Shemin Amor, they used to use Shemin Amor. Shenemar, as we indeed find in Megillus Esther, Shisha Chadosha B'Shemin Amor. Ask the Gemara, my Shemin Amor, Rechunav Achia Omar, Sitkis. It's an oil that has in it spices. Rabbi Yehuda bar Abba Omer, Shemazai Shalai Vishlish. It's oil from olives that weren't ripened to a third. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afinkan, there was a type of oil that they had in Fiknan, with Shemazai Shalai Vishlish, is oil that's made of olives that didn't grow to a third of what they're expected to grow. V'lamas Sokhan Asai, why would people use them? Says the Gemara Shemesher is a sar. It removes unwanted hair, or madan abesser, and it makes that the skin should glow. So says the Gemara, Bibi Havilai Barta. Her Bibi had a daughter that had unwanted hair, and Tafla Aver, and he smeared it, he took off that hair by one limb at a time, putting sit on it. And Shaklaba, and she became so beautiful, she had such a beautiful complexion that when he married off, he got Abba Meizuzi, he got a huge amount of money because she was such a beautiful girl. There was an Akum in his neighborhood, Havale Barta, and also had a daughter, and also had this issue, and he also wanted to make her beautiful. So Tafla B'chad Zimna, he took the Sid, and at one time, he covered her whole body. And since the Sid is so strong, she couldn't absorb it, and she died. And Omar, he used to say, "Kot Rabibi Lebarti." Rabibi caused my daughter to die, because by following him, that's what he did. So I saw that the Farshim explained what happened here. Why did he say "Kot Rabibi"? He's giving him an honor, and why is he saying this? He says that the Akum made a fundamental mistake. The Akum thought that if smearing the girl at one aver at a time made her so beautiful, so certainly if he'll smear her at one time, she'll even be more beautiful. But he didn't realize that Rabibi was a Talmid Chacham, and he realize what's the right way to do it. So he says, I should have followed the way of the Talmud Chacham. Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Nachman, Rabibi the Shasa Shechra, Rabibi who drank beer, Bayim Bansi Tiflin. His daughters had this issue that they had unwanted hair. Anan the Loishasin in Shechra, we who don't drink beer, Loi Bayim Bansi Tiflin. So, as I saw, the Mefarshim explained, wealthy people were able to drink wine. And if you drink wine, then the wine doesn't cause unwanted hair. However, if you drink beer, because you can't afford wine, wine is more expensive than beer, you're going to have this issue. We learned further in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda k'day losar kilkel. Rav Yehuda says, when we speak about Sid, the matter is to shmir a kilkel. My kilkel, a kilkel and an andifi. Rav Nechemiah said the shear was an andipi. Rav Yehuda said the shear was a kilkel, and Rav Nechemiah said the shear was an andipi. Ask the Gemara, my kilkel and my andipi. What are these two different things? Amar Rav, Tzida, the temple, the hair on the temple, the Sid lime was used to smooth down that hair, and Bas Tzida, that means the area under the temple where there's short hairs, and the way that they removed those unwanted short hairs was with the Sid. So again, ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda, as we explained a few moments ago, is the Machmer. So, and Rabbi Yechem Yeshir of the Bas Tzida is a smaller amount than even the amount that's needed for the Tzida. So ask the Gemara, remember the Shur, Rabbi Yehuda Nafish? Does Rabbi Yehuda say a bigger shear, Hakaimalon? We always say that Rabbi Yehuda is the Machmer and has the smaller shear. And here we see the shear, the Rabbanan Nafish, answers the Gemara, Zutam of the Rabbanan, for Nafish of the Rabbanan Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda is indeed a Machmer, but he's not. It doesn't have to be the biggest Machmer. So he's Machmer versus the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say the shear is for the man that's put on the girl to take off the aver cotton. His shear is smaller than the Rabbanan. That makes him into enough of a machmer. He doesn't have to be more machmer than Rabbi Nechemiah. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, so we explained Kilkel and Tifi and then Difi with Tzida and Bas Tzida. Ask the Gemara, it says in the Brisa, Amar Rebbe, near Divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'Chavit. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is understood when we're speaking about the Zav line. V'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the base sid, when it's a lump of lime that isn't dissolved yet. Ask the Gemara, v'isal gedatech, if we could say that the sid that they're talking about is sidda bas sidda, the amount that's put on the different areas by the forehead, by the temples, idi v'idi chavit, they only use dissolved lime. So how do we understand this statement? Elam Rabbi Yitzchak, Amri de Be'erabina, and Difi is the amount of lime that they put by a barrel that had two spigots, and if it has two spigots, we're always concerned that the wine will leak out. So they put on this lime. Maskler of Kahana asked the Gemara, "V'chi adam oisem ma'av empiris? If you're going to seal your barrel, your wine barrel with lime, the wine, the alcohol, will cause the lime to dissolve. Nobody's going to use lime for that purpose." Elamar of Kahana, shantzes. They used to make markings on the side of the barrels, like on a measuring cup. And they used to then smear those markings with lime to make them more visible. Ketanan, like we learned in a Mishnah Masechta Menachos, shantzes hayabahin. They had a keli, which they used to measure the oil that they brought for the karban mincha, the other ingredients. And they had measuring cup because different animals required different amount of wine. Adkan lapar, adkan la'ayil, adkan la'keves. V'boi seim amayin difa, apusa. The amount that's put on the forehead. Says the Gemara, ki hodahu ba'golu. There was somebody that of Golu who came to Bavel. Domerlein, and they said to him, kum droi shlonim amayisim ha'kova. Please give us a shear, Maisa Makava. Give us a shear on Kabbalah. Amlahu. So he said, Edrish Lachu, I will give such a drasha. Kedarash Rav Nechemiah L'chavrei. The same way Rav Nechemiah gave a drasha to his chaverim. And that'll be a wonderful shear. As soon as he was about to give the shear, Nafal Arisa min hakoisel, a hornet came out from the nearby wall, or machse bandife, and stung him on the forehead, or miss, and he passed away. Vamalei mindalei dolei. He caused himself to pass away, because these are the kind of subjects that are not supposed to be taught in public. I saw from the Rav Pa'alim that the Arizal, when he was about to be nifter, his Talmud, Rabbi Yitzchak HaKoyin, said, "You were the Rebbe that taught us Kabbalah. Now that you're passing away, who will teach us Kabbalah?" So the Arizal told him, "Shemayoyin v'hala, from today on, you should stop learning Kabbalah, because people don't necessarily understand it." He said, "Only my Talmud, Reb Chaim Vital, shall learn it, and he shall learn it b'lechisha v'seiser." So the Rav Pa'alim certainly explains that it doesn't mean that nobody can learn Kabbalah after the Ptira of the Arizal. What it means is, as we're learning in this Gemara, Kabbalah is a subject that should not be taught publicly. It should be taught in private. It says the Mishnah Adama, if one takes out earth, the mount that they use to make a seal on sacks that they transported items in. They used to seal the letter, the mount that you need to seal a letter. Zevelach v'chol adak, it takes out fertilizer or fine sand, kedei lezabel krach shakrov, enough to fertilize a single stalk of cabbage, divrei Rabbi Akiva. V'chamrami, kedei lezabel krisha, the mount to fertilize a leek. Chol agas, coarse sand, kedei liten amolik hafsid, enough to put on a full shovel of sid, kana reed, kedei lasas kuma, to make a pen, v'maya ava marusus, if it was thick or cracked, that it can't be used for a pen, kedei levash l'mabei kalash l'mabeim, the amount you need to cook the easily cooked eggs, trufa, when it's already been beaten, and as soon as ilfas, it's put already in the pot, so it gets cooked quicker, and some say not only the pot, but it has to be a hot pot, so it gets cooked quicker. So we learned, the shear is a moliklof sid, the amount to fill up a shovel of lime. Enough to put in the opening of a plasterer's keli that he has sit in it. Says the Gemara, Man tana dechol mala l'sud. Who says that sand is good to add to cement? Amar Chizda, Rabbi Yehuda. It represents the opinion of Yehuda, the Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, lo yodam, yosu odam es beis b'sid. A person shouldn't paint his house with plaster after the Churban, where we're supposed to do things zeich l'churban, and therefore the only way to do it, to make it acceptable, b'zman hazeh, is elam kein ir boi tevin achol. Adding sand or straw makes that it shouldn't be so nice and bright, and that's what we should do b'zman hazeh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tevin mutter, straw could be put in, chol osur, but we shouldn't put in sand, neishu tarksid. It makes the strand, the sit stronger. And therefore, even though it's not going to indeed be so nice and bright, but making it stronger also is not something that you want to do b'zman hazeh in the zman ha-churban. Others say you're going to gain money because sand is cheaper than sid. Rav Avafima tem rabbanon. Even the rabbanon agree that they allow adding sand to sid when we're painting, kilkuloi zetikunoi. The fact that it takes down the brightness is enough of a reason that it could be used. Kana, the mount of a reed, kedei lasis kuma. Tana, kuma samagia kishri etzbeisav. How long is this reed? The mount that gets down to your joint. Bayravashi kesha el yunikesha tachtan. Is it the upper joint, which is the mount where the finger gets connected to the hand, or the lower joint is the joint in the middle of the finger? And the Gemara says, teiku. Vimhaya ova. But if the reed was cracked or thick, that it couldn't be used as a pot, as a pen, then it's the mount that's used to cook this egg. Tana, trufa b'shemen, when the egg is beaten with oil, and a suna b'elfis. All of these things make us be able to cook the egg faster. Amle ma'abrei d'ravina l'brei. Mishim ilach be'i kalamahi. Did you hear what is the definition of Be'ekala? Amalei Be'ed Etziltzilut. It's the egg of a small dove, which is very small. Ma'itam Hashem Dezitra, which is very small, so gets cooked quicker. So he says, if you're looking for a small bird, so maybe aim it at Tzipirta, Ishtik. And that's what you're looking for, so Tzipirta look for, which is even a smaller bird. Amalei So he asked him, did you hear anything about this in the Beis Medrash? So he responded, the egg of a hen. Why is that called a Be'ekala? Chazal determined, there's no egg that gets cooked quicker than the egg of a hen. So he asked him further, why everywhere else when we spoke about Hilchos Shabbos we speak about a groigris, and here we said Hachav Bebeya? So he said Hachav Rav Nachman Kegroigris Bebeyakala. It doesn't mean that you have to cook up the amount that they carry out the whole egg. It means a groigris of that egg, that is the amount that you to cook a groigris of that egg, that is the amount of the thick or cracked reed you chayiv for carrying on Shabbos.